Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are now Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG, live with our 11 o'clock guest, and got the nice panoramic roof going there. What's going on, Ziggy? You were about to tell us.
What do you think? Are you impressed I got a sunroof in my truck here?
No. that's like a, you know, that's a big sunroof.
It's an upgrade. That had to get upgraded for the sunroof. Did you know that? This isn't the AHL. This is NHL sunroof right here.
Okay? it's definitely a, you know, an NHL sunroof. How's it going, man? What's going on?
Good, bud. How you doing?
You know, we're just sitting here.
To see how you guys, it's not less than 3 seconds that Mike comes on. You see him on the Zoom. We're waiting to go on the air and you rip him within 3 seconds. You're bugging. You're both going back and forth about each other's noses and what.
You should hear how bad it is. You should hear how bad it is when he comes on the morning show in Toronto. It's like nonstop. I don't even think we talk hockey half the time. So
no, who wants to talk hockey? There's no fans. It's not real hockey. You know, it's exhibition season. Mike Zigaman is joining us here. How are you? I mean, you know, you're doing Fan 590 up in Toronto. Like we were telling your story a little bit there before you came on the last segment. Just about, I was telling Sabre fans about how you were, you know, a Sabre prospect, you're unbelievable in junior, and Craig didn't know the story about the fax machine. He's looking at your stats. He's like, unbelievable. He said, normally guys go back in the draft. They go lower, but he went higher. He said they couldn't come to terms. I said, well, they did come to terms.
Crazy story. Yeah.
So what happened? What prevented you from being a Sabre?
Literally would take 2 or 3 hours to explain the whole story. I'll give you the short story of it.
Don't make it too short.
No. So drafted by the Sabres in 99, do my whole 2 years in junior. And then the week before we start talking about doing a contract and everything's done. It's last second though. And we end up coming to a deal. The issue was that the Sabres sent in the wrong contract. So we came to terms on a deal. We sent in the right one. They sent in the wrong one because we were scratching stuff out. It was right at the 11th.
How much? How much are you at? Like, let's not leave out details. These are important details. How much are you
signing?
Signing
bonus was 600, 650, six something.
No
it was
way.
Something. Yeah. So then, and then the whatever the year, what were we making in the minors? 50 grand, like 40 grand some years. So it was, yeah. And it, obviously a lot of money at 20. And so you get drafted, right? You're drafted, you're at 18, sign your big contract. It's like, yeah, you're going to go to the pro level. You got a chance to play in the NHL, but it's like your first big one. And there's things that come with it, right? Like all I had was I'm getting a car, right? That was like my big thing because I was driving my parents' minivan around everywhere and I would have to share it with my sister. And so I was like, okay, finally going to sign. I get my own car, but obviously it didn't happen because there was an issue with the fax. We call it the fax machine, but at the end of the day, it was Buffalo. They sent in the wrong one. And apparently it didn't go well in Buffalo. I had heard what had happened. I don't know. Somebody got fired the next day or whatnot, but they weren't too impressed.
Is that not something that they could have like overturned because you guys had made an agreement? Like how the heck does that happen?
So it happens a lot, actually. And a lot of times when contracts get sent in after the deadline, usually they delay them a day and say, oh, hold on, we got to review it. And then they usually, you know, let them go through. We never hear about those situations, right? They just happen. So it was me and two other players. I believe it was like Rob Zepp and like Kyle Wanvig. I'm guessing maybe those were the other two names. I can't remember, but there's two other players. They got them in we all sent them in at the same time. They sent in the right one, but they were a couple minutes late. Mine was sent in on time, but they were different contracts. By the time the real one got sent in, we didn't realize till like an hour later. So this was on a Friday, and then all the offices closed. They said, no, if the contracts aren't going through, we're going to deal with it on Monday. So then Monday comes by, and originally the league said, no, they're not going through. Then they went back and forth with the NHLPA because the NHLPA has to sign off on all entry-level contracts. Then the NHLPA said, no, we're not letting it through. So then my agent calls me. He's like, okay, the league finally let them through, but now the NHLPA is not letting them through. I was like, I haven't even played a game yet. Like, why are they stopping it? And yeah. Apparently there was a big issue with the CBA, and they wanted some things changed in it with entry levels and stuff. Nothing crazy, like call-in contracts, like just small stuff. The league's like, no, next CBA. And then to make a point, the way the story I got, I was told, and from the information I have and documents, is that the NHLPA then, you know, they said, we want these. Are they not going through? And the NHL said, well, if you don't let them through, we're not letting them through either. So all three of us entered the draft. So it was a little bit of a fax machine.
All right.
The Sabres. And I know, and the PA. So I know,
this is what everybody wants to know.
Yeah. See, so I don't even tell this story on my show. I'm worried someone's going to come after me from the PA or a lawyer. I'm going to tell you this.
Just so you know, millions of people listen to this show, Mike. So
you know it. Everybody's going to know about this.
What do you think? This is like a basement podcast here that we're doing? Like just sending it around to our family? WGR 550 and MSG.
When I mention somebody's name the wrong way on the Leafs, I need a personal security guard to let me out of the building. Okay, that's what it's like in Toronto.
Well, so. I'm known as the name butcher here, so I get let off easy. The question I want to know is this: everybody that's listening right now or watching wants to know this. So, your first contract, you came to an agreement with Buffalo Sabres. They send it in. Your signing bonus was around $650,000. You're like, what, 19 years old?
20.
Life-changing. 20, yeah. 20 years old. Life-changing. That contract does not go through. You go back into the draft. You get drafted even higher by the Carolina Hurricanes. What was your signing bonus then?
They dropped 150. That's all I can remember. It was like below 500. I got.
Oh, poor you.
I didn't get as much. I didn't get as much in salary. The AHL money was less. It was. Yeah, it was a lot. So really? That was kind of. Yeah, wow. That was kind of tough. But I'm lucky because I think the Sabres picked 50th in the 2001 draft. And I'm trying to remember who they took at 50. Who was number nine on the Sabres? Do you remember? Number Derek nine Roy? Through. Derek Roy, I think they took...
No, Roizy went like 32nd. Roizy went 32nd, and then Sabres picked Chris Thorburn.
Oh, okay, Thorburn. Sorry. Okay,
They picked Pominville at 50.
Okay, then they picked Pominville.
55.
Okay, so apparently the story was we went back in the draft, and I'm just... I don't know what my agent did. Like, how much do you know of what your agent does in your career? You don't know hardly anything, and you try to get a straight story... Usually you don't get it. So apparently what I heard was Buffalo was going to redraft me at 50 and just bury me. Like, yeah.
What? Like,
yeah, that's what I had heard. And then
sounds about right. I mean, that sounds about right.
Who's the GM? Darcy Rager.
Yeah, Why would they do that?
I heard, yeah, but we held it right to the last minute and we held strong on our number there. Cause I think I got what Norm Milley got the year before, and maybe they didn't want to pay me the same money, I guess. So, but that's what happened with, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. You and Norm Milley would have been perfect comparables when it came to that signing year. Instigators, we're talking with Mike Zygomanis, was one time a Buffalo Sabres prospect, and you know, facts, screw ups and whatnot, he became a Carolina Hurricane. And I want to ask you this. He ends up getting drafted higher the second time than he did the first, which is very, very rare, by the way. But the other question I want to ask you is this. So you were in Carolina in 05-06 for 21 games. Were you traded at the deadline?
Yeah, right at the deadline for Doug Weight to St. Louis. So I could have been on another company team, but Lord. I know I wasn't playing. I was in the minors, and then I came out for a couple, and it was tough, right? I mean, you guys know, like, it was a good team. I don't know if we were a cup favorite at the time. It wasn't like we were head and shoulders above the rest of the league, and it was like, okay, you can kind of be a depth piece. Like I was in the minors, that was up. Guys from the minors are coming up above me. And looking back on it, it's a tough situation, right? If they ask you if you'd like to get moved, most guys are, you want to play, right? You don't care how much money you're going to make. Obviously, if you know you're going to be in the Stanley Cup finals or win a cup or make a deep run, you want to be on one of those teams. But you want to, you know, you're trying to make a name for yourself in the NHL, right? And it was my fourth, there was a year of the lockout prior to that. And then we returned in 05, 06. It just wasn't playing. So, you know, it was one of those things where I didn't mind, you know, starting somewhere fresh. I'd been with the Hurricanes organization for 5 years and it started the year off on left wing. Never played wing in my life. Any young kids watching or listening to this right now, when you're young and the coach, if you're a centerman, they put you on the wing, you go and play wing. If you're a winger, they put you in the middle, you play it. They want to put you in defense for a game, you play it. If they want to throw you in net, look at the e-bug situations that are happening right now, you play it. So I didn't play wing my whole life. And that was an issue because now I get to the NHL. There's only four center spots. Obviously, I wasn't playing. I'm trying to go through the list. Eric Staal, Rob Brendamore, like Kevin Adams. I'm not playing on that team, right? So I, you know, I don't play wing my whole life. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, you're going to be a left winger. That's not good for anybody when you've never played a position until you get to the NHL. I'm pretty sure you guys would agree with me on that one. Yeah. So, you know, I was with there. I was in the organization for 5 years. They got moved to St. Louis. And then they, you know, I'm watching the guys go and win the cup. And it was just like, yeah. it's tough not being there, but you're happy for the guys.
No, you're not. With, right? Don't. Yeah, see, that's no, listen. Now we had this conversation, Zig, before.
Let's have it again.
Craig was traded from San Jose to Buffalo.
I'm going to tell you right now.
And San Jose was the number one team in the league. And Craig told me that year, because we just had recalled the conversation.
They were a favorite, though. They were a favorite that year to go the distance, though. Like the Hurricanes in my year, I was there. We were good, but we weren't a favorite even to win the conference. I don't think anybody even had us making it to the conference finals. And then all of a sudden it was like Doug Wade. And then all these other guys, it was like crazy.
Who was
right?
the other
like,
guy? Did they pick up Mark Recchi there too?
Yeah. Recchi.
Pick up Mark Recchi.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
they picked up all these old veteran guys that were.
Yeah. Smart move. Yep. So it was like me, Jesse Bolarice, and like four first rounders for Doug Wade. That was the deal. But yeah,
you and Bolarice weren't enough to get way to get the deal.
They were like, take Bolarice and Zygmunt, and like, well, you're gonna have to throw in some. First
you have to throw to in like, if you're gonna trade us those guys, we're gonna need at least four like, first round picks.
How about a couple bags of pucks or something? Like, throw something in with those two plugs. So yeah, me and him both went to St. Louis. I went to the minors. Bolarice stayed up the rest of the year, and I finished the year in Peoria. So, you know what? You are happy. I did preface it by saying it's tough to watch, right? You're seeing the team you're on make a deep run, and then all of a sudden they're lifting a Stanley Cup, and you're like, geez, I could have been just a depth guy. Like, I was a depth guy in Pittsburgh where I was injured. I had surgery in January. I played there half the year and then made it back healthy for I had complete shoulder reconstruction and then made it back for the finals. But I was just practicing with the guys. But just being there, right? Being around the team, whether you play or not, play 10 games, 20 games, 50 games, you play in the playoffs. Like, when you're part of an organization and you win it, it's something, it's special.
Instigators joining us right now, Mike Zygmunt, formerly one time a Buffalo Sabre prospect and went on to play, you know, around 200 games in the NHL. Finishing his career in Toronto. You're from Toronto. My brother pointed out that you're a former Wexford guy too. Right? He was a Wexford guy.
Yeah, I remember your bro. Yeah.
Did you know Jeff back?
He's been a lot older than me, right? He's got to be what 4 years? Like you're a year older. Four, than me. Yeah. I'm an 81. You're an 80.
I'm 80, so he's 78. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I definitely remember him. Yeah. Obviously.
Big time Wexford.
What team did you play on in Toronto when you grew up?
Yeah, so the Wexford Raiders, the North York Canadiens, and Toronto Red Wings. Okay. Sorry, I'm a little brain dead. Right, I've been up since 2 a.m. I get up at 3 o'clock. I get up at 3 o'clock for my show. 4 o'clock. I'm on 6 to 9 a.m. Yeah, but some days I can't sleep. I'm up at 2:30. So
what do you do now? Do you go for like a cycle and a run? Like, aren't you like a big triathlete or something?
Yeah, I was. I had a bit of my left arm. I get a bit of an issue. My left elbow and shoulder. I think I need surgery on it. So training hasn't been great. Races aren't happening because of COVID right now, but definitely getting the runs in. I got my bike set up on my trainer in my living room.
What's the body fat at?
Sorry, I got a call coming in. Did I, my back? Oh, there I am.
Yeah, there you
go. The body, it's not good right now. I put on, no, I'm not lying. It's like 15 pounds since in the last year with COVID. It's been really bad. It's been
really?
Yeah.
That's abnormal for you.
I need a gym. I need weights. I have to go somewhere. You know, I'm one of those guys that I need a destination to work out. You know, I need a Pilates class. I need a yoga class. We actually physically go. We've been trained to get in our car and go to the rink every day our whole life. I'm not going to just stop and start working out at home overnight. It's not going to happen, right?
Well, I was surprised to see you dress the way you were, because knowing that you're a vegan, I was expecting like a tie-dye shirt and like something made out of hemp or something.
I can put that. I actually took it off for this. I was trying to dress up nice for you guys.
Now I'm being serious. You're a vegan now, but were you a vegan when you played?
I'm not. I was vegan for 5 years when I played. Yeah. I was like no meat for a lot of years, a little bit of seafood. And then I went vegan for 5 years. I eat seafood and some cheese once in a while. So I'm like a part-time plant-based. Yeah. I don't really like to label it at all, but I try to eat clean. And it's just, sometimes you can't get your meat or your dairy or your animal products. You don't really know where they're coming from. So I was just like, I started eating more vegetables and then it became a thing. Yeah. Full vegan. I was with the Leafs, with the Marlies for a couple of years. It was tough. It was tough doing it while I played.
Did any players follow you? Because I know George the Rock was a vegan played too.
There's a lot of guys that are plant-based. They just don't. It got out because I did some festival or some appearance, and then a writer asked me about it, and I'm just like, I thought it was a joke. And then the papers and Globe and Mail, and they're just like, this is the most incredible thing. I'm like, oh, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Like, so what? And then it became big, and there's a lot of guys, though. You'll be surprised how many guys are plant-based. Mike Komisarek. I'm trying to think of other. There's a couple guys on the Leafs, but yeah, they'd eat meat once a month. That was it. They'd have like steak once at a team dinner, and then it was like veggies every day. I know, but you'd never know about it, right?
Where do you get your energy from?
Matt Lombardi.
So what? Like when you're, I'm lost. I don't even understand how that can happen. I wouldn't be able to eat. Period.
Yeah, it was tough. The first 6-7 months, I did it over the summer. It was a little bit tough. I found it hard playing, and I found it better for endurance stuff, though, which doesn't really help you on the ice, right? I wasn't as sharp with my shifts, but I found like endurance stuff, or if I do any kind of base training or a run, longer run, I would feel better. Yeah, it was really crazy, and I was still trying to figure out what worked and what didn't work. It's tough, right? And then you're traveling buses or planes all the time. The team was pretty good with me, getting me meals, but then the guys on the team would start eating my food for me. We eventually became a plant-based pregame. So we'd still order like the chicken and the Parmesan and whatever, the ranch. But we had lentils, we had quinoa, millet, we had bigger salads. All the players would start eating my food till pretty much they had to order more of it.
And how was the team? How was the team doing, Zeg? How were you guys? Were you guys like plummeting in the standings?
Go ahead. No, we were good. I know. It's crazy, right? It's crazy to think, you know, plant-based, but there's lots. See, I started because of an Ironman guy out in California. I was training with him. And the guy's like crushing me. And I'm like, I know you're an Ironman, but I'm a pro hockey player. This guy is beating me in like boxing, sprinting, distance running, stairs, weights. And I'm like, look, what do you like? I got to start doing what you're doing. What are you doing? And he's like, well, I'm vegan to start off. I'm like, vegan? Come on. Like, what does that include? I was like learning from this guy. I was training with him for a couple weeks. And then I started to eat a lot of the same foods. And it's not so much about better performance. It was more about the inflammation, right? And you guys know how bad is the inflammation when you're playing? How bad is it when you're done playing? And it just got better. Like my head started feeling better. I had a couple of concussions. My joints were better. Recovery was quicker. So I just went with it. And that's kind of how it all started. But this guy's like, yeah, I've been vegan, raw vegan, 50% my whole life. Yeah, guy doesn't drink an ounce of alcohol. I'm like, Oh my goodness. So I
so what is it about the, like the inflammation? Yeah. I mean, what does it do for the inflammation? Why is it the sodium or something, or why is it? Yeah. So
it takes out all the inflammation out of your body when you're eating plants. I don't know the minerals, the vitamins, the lack of animal protein, like there's something with the diet that cuts down the inflammation. Like I'm not a dietitian or a doctor. I don't even do stuff if someone tells me, like, this guy's like, oh, go vegan. Like, I wouldn't just go vegan if this guy told me he doesn't need to sleep and, you know, this guy's going to live to 200. Like, I went vegan. I wanted to try it myself. So any kind of diet or recommendation, I always try it myself first before, you know, incorporating it into my life. I need to see the results. I can't just do something because some dietitian or doctor's like, oh, take this pill. You'll feel better. I'm going to say, no, I need to speak to someone who's done it. I'm going to try it out myself so I can give you. I've tried almost every diet out there. You name it, high protein.
You know what? I highly respect this. I love listening to you. Here's the thing. There is not a chance ever that I am not going to not eat meat or be to that level of, like, you just sound like you're like, what we talk about, the genetic marvels. That's taking things to another level in how you treat your body. I just don't think I'd be able to do it.
It's hard. I was trying all these diets. I'm like, it was always, what can you control, right? And in the summertime, we're off for 4 or 5 months. I know we're working out. I would work out 7-8 hours a day, just killing my body as an 18-year-old, you know. The Buffalo Sabres off season program was like ridiculous. It was just, and I was doing twice as much. Like I would have to go in. I remember I worked out at this gym in Toronto where the parking was only good for 3 hours. I would go and work in for the 3 hours, pull my car out and in so I could get my punch card again, cause they wouldn't charge me the $26 an hour extra on top. Like I was training out so crazy cause we all want to just do something we can, you know, that we can control our outcome. Right. And we can't in the summer. So it's like, we work out a ton, we skate a ton. And then I'm like, okay, my diet, that's something I can control, right? What are all these factors you can control in your career? Your diet was one of them. So I started experimenting. It wasn't pretty the first couple of years. I would eat McDonald's after games. Like it was ugly. Like I can't even tell you what people are like, oh, you must've been healthy your whole life. I'm like, no, I was like crushing quarter pounders after every single game, fries, like you name it. Going out on the weekends, like I was a complete mess. And then sooner or later, you kind of figure out, okay, you want to make this your job, you want to make this your livelihood, you're going to have to do something different and change it. And I started looking at different diets and training with different guys. And it just, one thing led to another. Like I didn't wake up one day and say, oh, that vegan thing looks pretty good, I'll go there.
So do you think there's more guys in the National Hockey League right now that have your mindset that are more dialed in and tuned in to their bodies nutrition wise?
Yeah, it's way beyond. Like Connor McDavid, I can't even imagine what his training and eating. The guy does Pilates, like yoga, like a specimen. Like I don't know the full extent of, I know a little bit. I know that movie came out when he broke his leg, and I had a friend that helped him get back on the ice with some treatment and strengthening. And she works with a lot of NHLers right now. But so I had a little bit of insight and you know, you watch that special on him coming back, and it's crazy the amount of hours players today put in. Like I can remember who's a guy from like just before Brian Marchment, tough guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can remember him and Gary Roberts skating. I was 19 years old in Toronto. We were in the summertime skating. And working out wasn't that big. Like, do you guys remember, like, 99? Like, working out in the off season, guys would do it, but it wasn't huge, right? And in the 90s, it wasn't – how many guys worked out in the early 90s in the off season? I don't think it's as many as people think. Now, today, if you don't have an 8-hour program, you're behind, right? And I can just remember him sitting in the room, and we were going to do some work right out. Like, it was a full day of training. And then Marchman's like, Gary, like – you can work out in the summertime, but you didn't have to tell everybody. Cause I feel like Gary Roberts started the trend almost, right? And then he's a big workout guy, right? He works out, trains a lot of the top NHLers. but he's the guy that really came out with the articles and started talking with it. And I just remember some of the older players that are like a little out of shape, and just the old school guys are like, Gary, you can work out in the summertime, but just don't tell anybody fakes.
Gary Roberts was he has that Station 7 or something, that gym or something, doesn't he?
It's not there anymore. Yeah, I worked out there when he first started, but now he's in Pittsburgh. He's working with the hospitals. I don't know if he's still doing work with the Penguins, but yeah, he's pretty big time now. He works with a lot of NHLers in the summertime. I think he takes like 100 guys and that's it. It's like $15,000 a guy. Like, it's crazy. It's a big business, but there's a lot of every single guy is training now. And now every single guy wants to skate every single week. It's not like it used to, you know. I'm sure you guys played with players that, you know, I'm ashamed to say it,
Mike, back when I was like 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, my time that I would skate in the summertime because all the guys that played before us were like, we'll start skating August 1st.
Yeah.
Right. Jay McKee booked the ice. There was no ice until August 1st.
Beauty.
And I would go and shred some summer men's league one night a week and let everybody know how good I really was.
I was telling Petey last week that I was around 25 years old at the time. I had done my 3-hour training workout, weights in the morning. I would go home. I'd eat. I'd take a nap. And I had to go back into town to the track and do my sprint workout. And I was telling Petey this one workout, I was near the end of July. I felt great. I was strong. I was like, you know, I felt good about myself. And I remember I was doing my sprint workout and my father pulls up in his car. I look and he's just sitting in his car. So I'm doing my sprints. It's about another 15 more minutes I'm doing these sprints. And then finally my dad gets out of his car. He walks over to me. My dad didn't say very much. He just looked at me. He said, "If you're not going to work, you better go back to the lake and sit on the dock, because what you're doing right now is doing you no good." And I was like, I'm 25. I'm cocky. And I'm just like, whatever. Like, I never talk back to my dad. Right. I'm like, whatever. And he's like, my dad's like, "I could beat you to the other end of this field, no problem." And I'm like, "Oh yeah." I'm thinking in my head for the first time in my entire life, this came to my mind. I am going to take down the big buck. So I said, "Dad, okay, let's go." My dad's 52, 53 years old. We get lined up. I look at him. I said, "You can say go." My dad looks over and he goes, "You say go." And I'm like, "Dad, you want to take 10 yards? I'll give you a little head start." He's like, "You take 10 yards. I'm like, "All right, here we go." So anyway, I'm like, I'm now going to take over the big buck standard. We say go. I take off like a rocket. I am like, I am going to take him down and make him cry. So I hit about the 50-yard line. I look over my shoulder. He's 10 yards behind me. I'm thinking to myself, "I've got it. This is my day. I'm taking over." I'm like now burying down. And shoulder, he reaches his neck out, and he beats me. I'm 25 years old, in the best shape of my entire life. My 53-year-old father, who sat in the car for 25 minutes watching me, is breathing like he can't even breathe. And he looks at me and he says, "Maybe you need to work harder." And he walked off the field, got in his car, and he left.
That's awesome.
You should be ashamed of yourself. My dad never would have beat me.
My dad never would have beat me, ever.
Oh,
I don't know if I would have challenged my dad. Probably would have. He probably would have taken me down.
I'm still scarred. I'm still scarred today.
I love it.
Tell us, Zig. So we've witnessed some things around the league. Patrick Marleau, we got to get rolling here shortly. But, you know, you're following a lot up in the Canada division. I call it the Canada division.
Yeah, it's all good.
What's out of there? Is Toronto for real this year?
Yeah, a different mix this year, right? You bring in Thornton, Simmons, Bogosian was a big one, I think, was really under the radar. Brody's made a huge difference playing with Riley for most part. They've been mixing the back end up a little bit, playing with some different D pairings. The front top of the lineup's pretty set. It's Marner, Matthews, and Nylander, Tavares in the top two, and they've been juggling left wingers. Hyman's out right now. And there's talk that he's in consideration for the Olympic team, which is kind of crazy. Some local kid making league minimum, and then all of a sudden he's in the talk. I don't think he'll make it, but the fact that he's in conversation, I think it's great for him. Goaltending, there's been a lot of controversy. Obviously, Anderson's been in and out of the lineup with injuries. He's out now on LTIR. They bring in Campbell, who they traded for last year from LA. I've been like lobbying for him to get more games, and people are like, you're crazy, he can't play more. All of a sudden he breaks the NHL record for 11 wins. Then they bring in Riddick from Calgary. He was good in his first couple, had a rough outing last game, but pretty much three NHL goaltenders. So a little bit of controversy when Anderson comes back. I think they're a little bit tougher. I don't know if you've fallen the headlines a little bit up here. Winnipeg calling Toronto the dirtiest team in the NHL. I think it's funny because it's a skilled puck possession team that doesn't do anything. They don't scrum.
Oh, that's all Joe Thornton's fault. You know, you cross check it, you break a guy, you break your stick over a guy's back, and then you go get another stick to come back and break it over him again. I mean,
see, that was the Ehlers stuff. That was nothing. The hit on Perreault, I wasn't happy with the hit on Perreault. A little bit late, a little bit high, but you're not going to hurt a guy in that situation. The Lowry one from Galchenyuk, there's no way he knew he was going to clip a 6'5" guy in the head. It's Galchenyuk. Like, yeah, it plays a little bit of grit, but that he's not that type of player. And then our young guy, Rasmus Sandin, look at this kid. Really good defenseman. Played his fourth game. He reversed hit Wheeler. Like, Wheeler didn't come back. He played, but, like, was not in it at all.
The old cold shoulder.
Do you see it? It was like a reverse hit, like, back end into him, and Wheeler had no idea. Like,
what'd you say, Riff?
I said that Wheeler was out for a concussion for a long time.
Yeah, and he just came back, and it didn't look good. Like, that's the one. Like, I've seen guys come back too early. You know, you come back too early, they get that first bump, and it's like – it's almost like he didn't know he was there. So that's, like, tells me that still dealing with the concussion from before, right? Yeah. But this Sandin kid, really good. You know, they're calling for him to run the first unit power play. I like him a lot. I covered the Marlies working for Leafs Nation Network. Obviously we haven't been covering them this year with the pandemic, but I covered them last couple of years and got to see a lot of them. Really good player. And I think he's great as a seventh defenseman, a guy that sits out 6 weeks and then comes back in the line that plays 15 minutes. Like, he hasn't missed a game. So he's a good young kid. And there's another kid, Robertson, that I think is going to get some games. Yeah. He brings bro. And his brother's really good. Might win the Calder, but yeah, this Robertson kid's, you know, he lit up the OHL. I think I'm on my own island there. I think he's going to play in the playoffs. Just, he brings a different element, like an energy, shoot first, everything north. Cause I love puck possession, but I'm not a bring it back in your zone, regroup. Like, the two goals Toronto let in the other day were from regrouping D to D when it was just like, get it out of the zone, punt it, live for another day. And they don't do that, right?
That Robertson kid is the kid, Riv, that you wanted the Sabres to get if they moved Omark there when they were talking about young prospects. Zig, listen, man, it's amazing that 33 minutes goes by that quickly, eh? I mean, when you're just catching up, some, you know, three hockey players, a couple little buddies.
That's great.
I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you coming on and want to get you on again. We can talk more stuff league-wide.
Yeah, some
Sabres.
Sure.
I want to get into some Sabres with you. I know you're following the Sabres too.
Absolutely.
And what's going on with them. So we'll get in touch and have you on maybe in a couple of weeks. We can circle back. All right.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure,
Mike Zigomanis, old friend. All hockey friends are always friends. So
go Sabres,
we'll have
go.
Him on again. Go Sabres, go. We'll be back. No more Facts Machine paper jams. Stick around. Final segment of the Instigators coming up.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right. Thank you to Mike Zigomanis, our friend over the border. And he just was saying as he as we were hanging up, he was saying, you know, before the pandemic, every time he crosses the border into Canada, whether it's at the Whirlpool or the Rainbow Bridge or at the Peace Bridge, they look at his ID and they say, Zygomantis, are you the fax machine guy? Are you the fax machine guy? I mean, it's just, he's like, what a way to be known for something.
Yeah.
Here's some interesting news that we'll get to here. Elon Musk, you know who he is, Riv, right?
Yep.
Elon Musk. So you know what he's doing?
I do not.
Is this for real or is this a joke? Is this by The Onion? He's going to host Saturday Night Live, if you can believe it. That's all I have to say. That should be interesting. I'll watch to see how terrible that is. Instigators, yeah. We'll be right back. Yeah. SNL's gone way downhill, like way downhill.
I used to love watching SNL when I was a kid. Teenager, loved it. But
yeah, it's just not the same. All right, final segment coming up. We're going to have to get to that Darlene talk. Maybe you can mention it on the other side of the break, but maybe we can talk about it tomorrow with Marty. Because I don't think the conversation's going anywhere, but he's heating up. So, and the Sabres are back in New York tomorrow night. So we'll be able to talk about that and he can continue it. We'll be right back. Final segment of the Instigators coming up right here, WGR 550 MSG.
Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back. Some news coming out of the NHL today. Probably should have mentioned it sooner, but definitely noteworthy for the end of the show. Andrew Shaw retiring. Not necessarily a household star name, but I think if you follow the game closely enough and you know what types of players it takes to win, he is definitely one of them. And there's a phenomenal picture of him winning a Stanley Cup with the big cut under his eye. I think he scored a huge goal against Boston in 2011 or 2012, whatever year that was. And so he retired 544 games, 247 points and two Stanley Cups. So concussion issues, Craig, probably not his decision, not going out on his terms. But again, he said he's okay with it.
Well, you know what? You had a young man that was not destined to be a guaranteed NHL hockey player. But this is a guy that in Chicago was kind of like they called him the mutt. He was the guy that did all the dirty work for the star players, the Jonathan Taves and the Patrick Kanes and the guys, the Marian Hossas. Those were the stars. Okay. But in order to have success, those stars have to be surrounded with junkyard dogs. And Andrew Shaw was a junkyard dog. He went to the trenches. He took the beatings. He did all the stuff that he had to do. To help this team win games. Two Stanley Cups later, 544 games, pretty impressive career, and you know, a real solid player.
Yeah, it's too bad that he had to go out the way he's going out. No player wants to be shown the door, obviously, but yeah. Best to take care of yourself. And again, you know, he'll have a life in hockey. There will be a team that will snatch him up somewhere and, you know, put him in a player development role or a coaching role or some kind of an advisor role. He'll be good for that. Like you said, fifth round pick, 139th overall, a long shot to make it. And, you know, definitely he overachieved expectations. He had some great years in the NHL, 116 total goals. Tomorrow's show, Marty will be with us. And one conversation we'll carry on that we didn't get to today, we'll get to tomorrow. Will be Rasmus Dahlin's contract. He's heating up, and I know this is something you're interested in talking about too.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, I think we're probably going to have a pretty good debate tomorrow. I know Marty has his feelings, even about Sam Reinhart. And I know that we touched a little bit of base on Sam Reinhart, but we didn't really dive into it. I think those are two players that are key players. I am curious to know the thoughts on, you know, length of contract, number of what we're going to have to pay both those two guys, Sam Reinhart and Rasmus Dahlin. And we'll We'll certainly dive into that tomorrow.
Long-term deal or short-term deal for Rasmus, and what gets it done for Sam, and does Sam want to be here going forward after next year? That's all part of it. Sabres back at it tomorrow, 7 o'clock against the Rangers. We'll preview all of that, obviously looking for a different game than last night. And we're back tomorrow, 10 to noon. One Bills Live next right here on WGR 550 and MSG. Thanks for joining us.